Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, and all three of you were actually here to start the show. Jacob, Aki, and Bree, how are you doing?
I was on time. In fact, I was early.
We're shocked.
Yeah. And nobody said a damn word about it either.
No, but I will thank you for your sub, you wiener.
Thank you. And I'll thank you for doming me later.
You just know how to ruin the show every time.
Every time. Every fucking time. I'm so good at it.
You have to be good at something, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what else am I going to do? Make carbon dioxide for plants? No. Not doing that now.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. So how is everyone? Did anyone do anything fun this week?
I went and took a crochet class on Saturday.
Okay, how'd it go?
It was pretty good. I was relearning to crochet. I haven't crocheted in a long time. And I picked it back up pretty quick. I'm making a cute little pumpkin. It's like a little stuffed pumpkin. I'll show pictures when it's done.
Is it going to have like a face on it, or is it just a pumpkin?
You know, I could embroider a face with some yarn if I wanted to, but no, it was just going to be a cute little decorative pumpkin.
Okay.
I'm still working on cool 3D prints. I made some NES cartridge holders.
Ooh.
So that was cool. I got some more Switch things in the works.
Is this 3D printing or crocheting?
3D printing. I've been
okay. All right. All right. I was a little confused there because I was just like, wait, what? She's crocheting NES like cartridge holders?
I switched gears. Okay. Yeah. I didn't post a picture in the Discord yet. I probably should because I don't know how I could top my piranha plant for Switch, but
yeah, that Switch piranha plant was awesome.
And that I wish I could have designed it myself. It's so freaking cool.
Is it for Switch 2 or just for Switch 1?
It's for Switch 1, but I am working on an adapter that I found someone made that I may have to put magnets in so that I can use that for the Switch 2.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to test it out this weekend. I've got the print in print this weekend, so yeah.
Well, if you get it working, let me know.
Yeah.
What's Jacob's sorry wedding about?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just suddenly cut out.
Okay.
I didn't hear what she said, so.
It's probably your end screwing up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if nobody else said anything, then I would figure.
How dare you? You just always have to make it about you. Well, since the weather's shitty in your area, and it's almost guaranteed to come up to my area since we're that close, maybe we should dive into the news of the week?
Yeah. Yep.
Should we just jump in? Get the show on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Aki didn't have anything to talk about, right?
Correct.
Do you have anything to talk about, Jacob?
I was trying to think real hard about it, and I'm drawing a blank, so...
Yeah, no. We know. You're always Shut drawing up. A blank. You're high.
Fire? No, I'm not. I wish I was.
Me too. But I could fix that.
I can't.
Haha. So, Sony State of Play had an event.
Yay.
That's about as much praise as they deserve for this event. It was pretty friggin' lackluster. For a big State of Play, there was almost nothing worthwhile.
I have like four things in my notes that I was excited about at all.
Yeah. A lot of DLC, a lot of expansions, very few exclusives. Let's get to it. The first thing they opened up with was a look at the Resident Evil movie. That's how they kick things off.
Oh, yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah. Well, since we brought that up, do you mind if we talk about that for a minute? Because that was in my news segment anyway.
Yeah, go for it. Hold on. Where is it?
It's Movie Watch.
The fucking button. I can't find it.
It's Movie Watch.
There. I found it.
So yeah, it's directed by Zach Krieger, the director of Weapons. And
Whitest Kids You Know.
What?
Whitest Kids You Know.
All right. Also that.
Improv comedy troupe.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Have you not seen Whitest Kids You Know?
I have not. I'm
sorry. Look up the sketch Gallon of PCP.
Yes, oh, Gallon. Okay. Oh my god. You can look up Slow Jerk too.
I don't know.
We're gonna have a watch.
Anyway,
night.
I watched a director little video of some of the things that he wanted to put into the project, and it really looks like it's a whole new story, and he's really looking to really bring those nods to the games, including things like, you know, putting in health packs and green herbs in the background of things, and having these kind of save room concepts, but you know, it's bigger scale things like the progression of weapons. So like when he first starts out realizing he's in a survival situation, the protagonist like finds a pistol and he doesn't really know what he's doing, but he figures it out, and then he progresses to like a shotgun. He's like, hell yeah. And then he gets a machine gun by the end of it, you know. So there's like little things in there that they've done to really make this its own thing, really, you know, the progression of the storyline and things coming into the game references and the feel of the game. So yeah,
Looks like it'd be a good movie, but not quite what I want out of a Resident Evil movie.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting about it too.
Should we go into this with our preconceived notions of what Resident Evil is kind of tossed to the side? And do you think we should go into this with a fresh mindset?
I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting one, and it's its own story. It's separate from, you know, the other series of movies. Yeah. It's separate from the games themselves. But you know, I think it's
anyone I trust with horror right now, it's Zach Krieger.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Barbarian September 18th it comes nuts. Out. Yeah, Barbarian is another one did. So yeah, I think I need two drinks now because I think I just said that twice. Still waiting for my beer.
As far as I'm concerned, it has to be better than Mila's acting. So, you know, I'm all for it.
You don't watch those for her acting. You know that.
No.
I don't watch them for her either. I don't find her particularly attractive. I do like those films, though. She is fucking god-awful in them.
I adore those movies. They're so bad. And they're so fun.
I love them. They're all terrible.
They're so trashy and fun.
Yeah, but the first and second, like, I mean, I like those. They're the best out of the series.
Like, I agree, honestly, the first is the best, but...
I loved Apocalypse the most, and then it just, like, the whole thing just went downhill.
With every subsequent film that came out since the first one, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, they were still stupid fun even at the end. I'll watch another one if they do another one.
So will I. As I said, I love the films. She can't act for shit, but I love those films.
And, like, honestly, like, Welcome to Raccoon City was just meh. Like, it definitely felt like a, you know, crap, we need to be able to hold on to the rights. Here's $20 million, make a movie. And it's just, eh. So, I'm excited for this one. This one looks, like, legitimately scary. I'm gonna go see it in IMAX. Like, I hope I pee myself.
Beer pee. Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So yeah, that's what they started off with. It was the scene of all the bodies falling into the road and into the cars.
Okay.
I've seen that in the trailer. It was pretty cool. And it looked like they did practical effects for pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
It looked great.
Very nice.
It didn't look like a CGI slop fest.
Well, yeah. They actually did say that because one of the bodies almost actually hit the lead actor. Yeah, Har Acolyte just said that in chat, too.
That's beautiful. But yeah, after that, they showed some more footage of Wolverine, because that's coming out in 2 weeks, and they need to spend time on that. It looks like Wolverine, if you weren't already sold on the game, I don't know what's going to sell you or what won't. I don't know. Ghost of Yotei is getting a new survival mode coming, as well as a new expansion on October 1st with the complete edition. So more content for Yotei. Monster Hunter Wilds is getting the Ascendance expansion next year.
Nice.
So more content for Monster Hunter. There's two expansions. Metro 2039 will be hitting all platforms February 4th. No timed exclusivity on this one.
Yeah, right before you mentioned it, I saw the date, and I'm so fucking happy.
Yep, February 4th, right around the corner.
Okay, I've heard
after
that
was one of the few highlights of the show, Maneater 2.
Heck yeah, there's a giant crab fight. Yeah.
There is a giant crab enemy. I hope you hit its weak point for massive damage.
At some point, I'm going to buy Maneater.
This looked good. This looked really good. I was excited when they announced it, because the first game is just campy, goofy, weird shit.
Yeah, I mean, fuck that last DLC fight, boss fight in particular, but also, yes, it was great game.
I'm pretty sure
that's why I need to buy it. I need the bikes.
Crimson Desert, Charting the Unknown, new expansion coming out October 15th. Three expansions. PlayStation 1 getting a Lego kit. Really cool looking Lego kit. It has pull-out drawers on the sides that feature Gran Turismo and Ape Escape. It has a pop-open disc tray, controllers you could plug in. I bet they're more comfortable than a real DualShock. No comments on Lego.
I mean, I'm too poor to afford them, so, I mean, like, I look at them for, like, 5 seconds, like, oh, that's cool, and then just keep going.
Fair.
Yep.
I wonder if Tim's going to get that one, because he's a big Lego guy. Final Fantasy Resonance, that is coming out October 22nd. The big news is it's getting a demo today, and your progress carries over. It's basically the entire first chapter of the game.
Nice.
Free. Go play it. I have it downloaded. I'll play it after the show.
What are you playing?
Final Fantasy Resonance.
Okay.
Do you not pay attention to the words I literally just said?
No.
Ratty.
I thought you knew that already.
I know.
All right. So once again, the audio crapped out for a moment. And so I was nice and I asked. I will stop being polite and I will just, I'll just.
Yeah, be a rude bitch. Be like me. Duh.
Yeah. Like, the next game is for a rude bitch like Aki called Gundam Rogue Orbit. Yeah.
I am so fucking hyped for this. This looks so good.
What's it about?
It's being tied to a brand new series that's going to be coming out soon. And basically, monsters from outer space are landing and Gundam pilots are fighting against them.
So
when you started that sentence, you said being tied to, and that is totally not where my brain went.
I like where your brain was going. Anyway,
cheers.
It's very Gundam kinky.
Yeah, I approve.
Hold up. So this new series, is it supposed to be like Attack on Titan meets Gundam, or is it just Gundams beating up Godzilla?
It's going to be Gundams beating up a lot of monsters, just all together. So kind of, I guess, Attack on Titan, except for Gundams and the monsters are about the same size.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with aliens in this new stuff, which is, not something that they've ever really...
I don't think they've ever done anything with aliens.
No, they have not. It's always been people versus people and people from other planets and stuff like that, but it's like, we colonized this planet. So they're just us, but we're fighting them anyways. They've never actually had aliens, and that's what this new TV show and this game are both going to be about. At least I think it's a TV show and not just a manga. I can't remember exactly.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever.
We'll
find out in March. Gundam. And Aki, are you hoping that Bandai Namco America announces the collector's edition that Europe has?
Yes. And by I am hoping, I'm saying they need to because they want money and I will give them fucking money. They just need to allow me to give them the damn money.
Otherwise, you're going to be like, oh, I'm making up an address in Morocco and I'm getting this bitch.
No, because the fucking tariffs on that shit would be insane. I would not be able to afford that.
What was, did you see a cost on it?
No. Didn't you tell me it was like $350 or something?
No, that's Final Fantasy.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
that one's stupid.
I think there was one in the link you provided, though, because you were able to pre-order it, but I don't remember what that price was.
Yeah, it's just the European territories for now and Australia, but we shall see in the future. After that, they showed off a game called Hunter's Moon that comes out October 26th. I don't remember a thing about it.
That one looked interesting. It's about, like, witches. The music was really interesting. They didn't really show much gameplay. It was, like, a lot of footage of stuff going on atmospherically, but I was very intrigued.
I really don't remember anything, but I remember the next one, Uncanyon, from the makers of Maquette, Graceful Decay, and Annapurna. It has the world transforming as you walk around. Like the world and the puzzles morph around you. It looked really cool.
That looks cool. I would not be able to play that game, but that looks cool.
Good news. It's hitting everything.
Nice.
Yay.
Something hitting PS5. Shadow dropped. They got Keeper from Double Fine.
Nice. Good. Glad they get to enjoy it too.
Going to get more money to help them on their new journey.
And the game is no longer $30. It is $20.
Okay.
Jeez.
And nice. What was Kiln? Was Kiln 20 or 15?
I don't remember.
Because now it's $7.99.
Huh.
Which is a much better price for that game.
Agreed.
Rev Noir got new footage from Konami, as well as Rhapsody in Scarlet. They showed off a double pack of Konami games coming.
Nice.
I love Konami. I don't know how I feel about either of those games. Like, they looked interesting, but they also looked like too much. I don't know.
Hmm.
I very much like the look of Rev Noir. Big shocker. I'm sure. And the Scarlet one just looks like that's all sorts of up my alley. Yeah. That looks gorgeous.
Find out more next year, I'm sure.
Probably.
Let's get to some PlayStation Plus info. Mycopunk is going to hit the PS Plus catalog.
Yeah.
Yay.
Not my kind of game, but...
And then PlayStation Classics. They announced three classics that are coming. Mega Man X Command Mission is this month.
Nice.
Dino Crisis 2 later this year. And the original Ratchet and Clank later this year. How did it take this long to get Ratchet and Clank on PS
Classics? I'm surprised it hasn't gotten a remake yet, to be honest.
Like, people come love on, that game. Sony. Stop this 1-2 games a month crap. Speaking of, we'll have a Nintendo Switch update later. Saros is getting a new update with New Game Plus and some other content. Free update later this year.
Hey. Nice. I'm surprised it didn't start with a New Game Plus, to be honest.
Gran Turismo 7 is getting a two-part update this year with part 1 in October, part 2 in December. The Spec 4 update will add the Sugo circuit in Japan, the Autumn Ring in two different versions, 12 new cars, and some other features, including a rumored online drift competition, which I hate drifting, so I won't fuck with that at all.
Fair enough.
Until Dawn 2 comes out January 28th.
Yay, that's it. That was exciting looking.
That one looked interesting, yeah. Then they showed off two brand new controllers for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yippee,
now,
I guess.
Now you could play the biggest game of the year on the worst controller. Come on, those symmetrical analog sticks suck dick, and they always will. And then they wrapped up the State of Play with Final Fantasy VII Revelation, and the release date, it will be launching April 8th. It is available with a deluxe edition for $100, a deluxe plus for $110, And if you're ballsy, you can get the collector's edition from the Square Enix website for a whopping $349.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Insane priced. It has a really nice looking statue. It's very small, but it
looks good. They the figures are 6 to 7 inches, and then the base is like another inch and a half. It's like maybe like 9 inches tall. I don't know. That doesn't seem good for a statue that you're paying $250 for.
Is the base flared?
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, you know, it's got to be like 6 to 7 inches. You know, you want to make sure you got a flared base at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. No, you would need 3 holes for this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, like one in the side of your ass cheek. Be weird.
Oh, no, I've been sounding the whole entire time that, like, I've been on this podcast, so, like, I'm ready for it.
Oh, God. So, anyway, that was the Sony State of Play event.
Yeah.
That was an event.
Hmm.
Seriously, the biggest thing at that event was Maneater 2.
Yeah, I can kind of understand why people were kind of underwhelmed by it, because a lot of it was just announcing stuff that's already been announced. But you still got new looks at some of the stuff and release dates. And then they also shared, I think, Revenor and Rhapsody in Scarlet. I think both of those are newly announced. Revenor was already announced. It was?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not remember that.
Yeah, there were a couple of new announcements, but nothing really blew me away. And then they had a State of Play Japan, which was to focus on the Japanese side of things. And they started off strong with Dragon Ball Xenoverse 3 was announced, and it's coming next year.
Okay, cool.
You'll get to create your own Toriyama character. Exciting, right, Bree?
Yay.
I was going to say, they've never done that before.
Bree does not like Akira Toriyama's art style.
I'm not into it. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. It just doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Perfectly fair.
Fate Extra Record is coming January 28th to everything but Xbox. Yay, thanks. Marvelous. It's awesome. PlayStation is returning to the Tokyo Game Show, and they will have an exclusive Monster Hunter Wilds Ascendance demo that you could play there.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Then they showed off new footage for Dragon Quest Monsters, The Withered World, which is hitting everything in December on the 3rd. They revealed a new game from NIS, The Eminence in Shadows, which will launch next year.
Oh, that looks good. That anime is absurd.
Well, it's not hitting Xbox, so.
Ugh, that sucks ass.
It's NIS. What do you expect?
I know, but man, I would have fucking loved to give them my money for that.
Four games on Xbox? No, they have five. That's it? Two really? Of them are La Mulana.
Damn.
La Mulana. Okay, that kind
of is sad.
R-Type, Cosmos, Star Seekers, something like that. I think they just released one more recently. They don't have a lot. It's a bummer. I wish NIS would take a gamble on Xbox and try releasing some stuff, but oh well. Soccer Game Rematch is getting a crossover with the anime Blue Lock.
Interesting.
Yeah. They revealed a new game called Where the Seeds Fall, where you are speedrunning down a mountain.
Nope.
What were my first words with this one, Bree?
It looked disorienting. It looked irritating. It was pretty, but nope.
It looks kind of like a Bennett Foddy rage game, but reverse platforming, where you're going down instead of trying to climb up some ridiculous contraption. You have to precisely drop down onto platforms.
And you can throw seeds so that you don't take damage when you make long jumps. And you have, like, some little kid hanging around your neck. I don't understand why. Nope.
It looks like it's beatable in about 14 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Brie isn't into this, because she usually likes those fucking rage games. I'm amazed she isn't all for this.
I don't like rage games. I entertain rage games.
Mm-hmm. You're a streamer and you have to.
I know. Stupid streamer tricks.
Don't worry. You'll get something for your next stream in the mail in the next few days.
Oh, okay.
Your gummy bear should be showing up soon.
Yes.
Wait, hot gummy bears?
No, gummy bear. Gummy bear.
A single
hottest gummy bear in the world.
Oh, never mind. I'm not envious now.
Yeah. Allegedly the hottest gummy bear in the world. Side agree?
I'm excited.
Yay.
Is your toilet excited?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I mean, the house may not, because it's going to smell rancid afterwards, but, you know, toilet should survive. It might be discolored, but it should survive.
In memory of injury.
So I had a cat that liked hot peppers.
I'm not excited. And he would just
yeah, he would just yowl in the litter box later, but he would not stop stealing the pepperoncini from the pizza box and hot peppers from other places.
Oh no.
He just loved them. Yep.
That's fantastic. Oh man.
Yep.
Anyway, after that they showed off more Gundam. There's a big segment on that we just skipped over. And then a new game called WPCA, which I believe was World Phasebound Control Association.
Authority,
okay.
Authority, yeah.
It looked like a horror backroom Souls-like, maybe? Fuck if we know.
Yeah.
It looked awesome is what it did.
Okay.
So much combat. Oof, so flashy.
Very confusing. Like, I couldn't tell what it was. Yeah. But it did look interesting. So after that was Stupid Never Dies coming out in October, and there is a demo out today.
Nice.
That one looked pretty wild. That
game looked pretty
wild.
Cool.
Slash Zero is a 2D action Metroidvania coming out in spring, a demo out today. So more for there. Sword Art Online is getting DLC for Echoes of Aincrad. The Genesis Maidens DLC will be out this winter.
Nice.
And then Digimon Time Stranger is also getting DLC next year. So a two-pack of DLC coming from Bandai Namco. After that was a game called Crown of No Quarter, or Conk. C-O-N-Q, Conk. Bree, what did you think of this one? Because I know this.
I don't remember it at all.
It was
actually
the Viking pirate.
Oh, that one. So it was kind of like there was this whole long thing in the beginning where they're like talking to each other, these two different factions, and then it suddenly cuts to Assassin's Creed 4. Ship-to-ship combat with boarding actions, and he was in a Viking helmet, and I don't know. It was interesting enough, I guess.
Yeah, everyone seems to be undead in this, because also at the start of the trailer, exactly I'm pretty sure we saw Roman soldiers
that
there too.
That could be.
I think this would be right up your alley, Bree. I think you'd really like this game.
Might. Well, we'll find out next year.
Yeah.
Comes out next year. Rhapsody in Scarlet was shown off again, and then they had a game, Dabble Land of something.
Land of Water Scar.
Title for this. Of what?
Dabble Land of Water Scar.
Third-person action game. Sony loves third-person action games.
They do.
When they look that good, I mean.
Yeah. And then they finished up with Ghost of Yote once again.
Fair enough.
That was State of Play Japan. That was two State of Plays in one day, and I was excited about, like, four things.
Mm-hmm.
These are getting a thumbs down from me. These presentations were very lackluster. Like, they weren't horrible, but they were boring, and that might be worse than horrible. Because when bad things happen, we could mock them.
I liked a bunch of these. Some of these looked really good, and some of them I just ignored because they were definitely PlayStation-only titles. I was like, oh, I don't care then.
There was a lot that was multi-platform, though, so
Yeah, and that's why I have seven. I know at least a couple of these are going to be multi-plat. I'm sure most of them probably won't be, but I'm not sure on
which ones.
Revenor, Rhapsody, and Scarlet. I assume those will probably be PlayStation only, but nope.
Both coming to Xbox.
Nice. WPCA.
That one I don't know.
Stupid Never Dies, and then Dabo Land of Water Scar. I know Stupid Never Dies is at least coming to Steam because Steam just announced that its demo was out to me earlier today because that's been on my wish list for like 6 or so months.
Well, give them looks and maybe something will show up. But some other news. The Xbox disk-to-digital program has officially entered testing, and the results are mixed to positive. Unfortunately, some publishers are not taking part in the program, so nothing works from Ubisoft, Bandai Namco, Sega, or Square Enix. Nothing. Huh.
And that's just stupid.
Yeah, also many delisted games do not work, like the Forza games do not work. A handful do, like Ghostbusters works, and people are excited because Deadpool works, and Deadpool, that game is now getting hundreds of dollars online.
Nice. I think I still have my copy of that somewhere.
Yeah, Deadpool? I still got mine.
Mm-hmm.
For Xbox One?
I believe so.
Because the 360 version doesn't play.
Yeah, no, I got the Xbox One version.
Oh, if you need money.
I'm not sure which I have now, then. Oh, no.
There's a lot of people asking, like, yeah, but does Marvel Ultimate Alliance work? Those are 360 games. They're not going to work. What about X-Men Wolverine? That's a 360 game. It doesn't work. Okay, what about the Spider-Man games? Those are 360 games. They don't fucking work.
Well, Amazing Spider-Man 2 had an Xbox One release.
I don't believe that one works.
No. Well, and also, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, was that just digital only for Xbox One?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep, digital only on those. I had about 20 disc games that I could test. Like, two-thirds of them worked. Not bad, not horrible, but I don't have a lot of disc games, so I couldn't really test a lot.
I think I could test six. That didn't work, and that was it.
Yeah, and like, I know one was Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Myself.
That one doesn't work, Jacob.
Oh, I thought you said it does.
No.
Also, thank God it doesn't work because, you know, we don't want that shit.
Saved Ryan Niemiller from the pain of owning that game.
That was very kind of you.
Yeah, I know. But, so, is anyone else in the preview program? Did anyone else get to test this out at all?
I haven't gone upstairs to try.
Proud of you.
I have. I know. I'm like alpha skip ahead in my box upstairs in the living room, and I have not turned that thing on in months. So, I would have to go through the whole updating the process and all that before I could test it. But maybe after this weekend, I will test some things. Indri and I were going through our collection for reasons unrelated to that. And I pulled some games in particular I'd like to try. So, yeah.
Any in particular? Yeah.
I need to do Borderlands the Handsome Collection
that.
Yeah. I was going to try Outer Wilds or Outer Worlds, I mean. Sorry. What is the invisible one?
The Invisible Hours?
Oh, he's Invisible Hours. Yes, I was going to check that one. Injury's handing them to me right now. I had Past Cure, The Outer Worlds, Invisible Hours, Fallout 4, and then Final Fantasy we know won't work because you said Square doesn't. So
Yeah.
I'm really bummed because one of the primary games I really wanted this system for also doesn't work because it's an Ubisoft game and I am so annoyed.
Well, Joe and I were talking, like, and one of the games that does work is a Telltale one, and I forget what the fuck you had said it was.
Minecraft.
Oh, Story Minecraft. Man. That's right. So I'm kind of excited about that because I know my I've got season one, but I don't have season two. I know, and I know my kids want to play that. But I
Invisible
also
Hours does work, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes, I'm actually like, the one who tested and submitted that one.
Oh, good.
But like, I want to see. I want to try to get my hands on a copy of the Telltale Game of Thrones game, and see if that works.
Honestly, I didn't know Past Cure even had a disc in the first place, to be honest.
I know, right?
Game of Thrones allegedly works.
Ooh.
Telltale sexy. Series, yes. That is marked as yes.
Hell yeah.
Gigantosaurus is marked as unknown.
Oh,
so if
I
you
mean,
have that on disc, give it a go, Jacob.
I don't. I'm a brand ambassador. I got all those games for free.
The world is counting on you, Jacob. And only you
to discover whether all the outright games work.
Yes
Now you have to go buy physical discs. Ooh, for all of
them. No, I'm not gonna buy physical discs. I think I'm gonna see if I can convince Stevie to mail me a bunch. That'd be hilarious.
But, if you want an up-to-date list, go to xct.live/disc, the number 2 and then digital. XCT.live is a new site that came around that is picking up some steam. It's very similar to True Achievements in that it's a good achievement tracking site. And this is like insane with the statistics that it gives you. So give it a sign up. I have a referral link that if you want, you could sign up. It's a pretty cool site.
Nice.
And the disc to digital list is very helpful.
Nobody get the referral from Joe. It's really just a picture of his dick.
I wish. I haven't seen that in years, man. Come on.
I mean, you have a mirror.
No, I don't. I'm ugly.
Yeah, that doesn't change how small it is, though.
I'm ugly. I broke it all.
Ouch. Your dick can't be that ugly.
Yours is. In November, Xbox Cloud Gaming is getting a new update in time limits. Yay! Basic Game Pass gamers will get 5 hours of game time a month. Premium gets 10. Ultimate only gets 15 hours a month. That's it. Then you could pay for more if you want.
Which I was like, yep. That is wild. That
so I've been hearing a lot of people responding to, well, nobody really uses cloud gaming. You know, I find it funny. Yeah, I know a lot of people who do, but how does that work with their everything is an Xbox concept? For all those smart TVs where you just use your controller and app, it's all cloud gaming. So who in their right mind is going to pay $23 a month for that scenario for 15 hours of gameplay? Like, I realize it's probably a small portion of people who are exclusively doing that, but like, I got stuck in a train station for 6 hours and I was able to play Sea of Thieves on my phone to pass the time. I'd hate to think I'd not be able to use it again for the rest of the month, basically.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have Game Pass. They haven't owned an Xbox ever.
Yes.
They mostly play on Steam, so everything they're doing is mostly via cloud for PC. And now they're all getting fucked too. And it's just like, that is not the thing you really wanted to do, because that is not going to help anyone be like, oh yeah, Xbox is good. No, that's just going to be like, well, fuck you too then. It sucks. It really sucks. That was like the one thing I was really happy with because it worked and it was useful. And now they're like, yeah, you know, this thing you liked and was useful, we're gonna fuck it all up now just because fuck it, why not? And I'm so fucking stupid. So fucking stupid.
Yeah. You click your mouse a lot. Jumping back to the disc to digital, I figure I might as well mention the ones of mine that did work.
Okay.
Because there are some interesting ones here. Tower of Guns Special Edition from Europe. Disc only. It worked. That's nice. A game that never had a digital release. Chaos Child from Japan works. Psycho Pass from Japan works. Marvel Pinball Collection. Disc only, never got a digital release. It works.
That's cool.
Yeah, Invisible Hours works. Ghostbusters works. I got Dynasty Warriors Empires 8 and 9, Vampire Bloodlines 2. And then The Walking Dead, the complete collection, where it has all the games in one disc.
Yes.
And then Redfall, but no one gives a fuck about Redfall.
I liked that game. I had people to play it with, though. So I had a lot of fun with it. That it really made a difference. I have very fond memories of that game.
Well, then you could drag me through it.
Let's do it.
Make you regret your decisions. Last bit of news I have. Nintendo Switch Online Update NES got three new games with Ninja Gaiden 3, The Ancient Ship of Doom, Akari Warriors, and RC Pro-Am 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
Aki, any news?
Yes, actually. It's a miracle. I know. Lot of the studio for Star Wars Zero Company was furloughed right before the game came out because they didn't have any money and they put it out. And that kind of really sucks that basically everyone was told, hey, yeah, you put all your time into this. You fired. That sucks, and it must really, really suck for them even more when they're seeing everyone praise this game that they got fired before it actually came out. Like, I think it was like 2 weeks or something before it came out. Basically, 80% of the team was fired, and it's like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. And then my other one is that Double Fine has created a Kickstarter for their game jam thing to figure out a new random ass weird game for themselves to make. And they decided, which is funny, it's not going to get this much, but it's funny just that they even included it, that if they made 100 million, they would go ahead and make Brutal Legends 2. And they put a caveat after that just so people realize that, yeah, they say that, but realistically, that's not happening. The highest amount that a Kickstarter ever got was $46 million. And they're like, so, yeah. But, you know, hey, if we get it, you know, then they were like, this is the stretchiest of all stretch goals. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, and that's all my news is. Just those two pieces.
All right, Bree, what do you got?
Let's see. At Gamescom last week, a few indie companies' booths were robbed of things like laptops and Steam Decks used to demo games.
Yeah.
Not only were the laptops expensive, but they had pre-release builds of games on them.
Oh, no.
It costs thousands of dollars to be at the show to begin with, let alone replace what was lost. And Gamescom's response was that the company should hire additional security and insure against theft.
Wow. Yeah,
I used the word empathy in their statement, but seemed to offer no help to the affected devs. And this is not even the first time this has happened in the last few years. And there are reports coming in that Gamescom actually blocked people from reporting it to police in the past because it would make them look bad.
Yeah, I will also point out that all these devs left their stuff there because there was supposed to be security there provided by Gamescom.
Yep.
That was part of the whole package for them, was that people were going to be in there making sure their shit wasn't stolen, and they barely had anybody there.
Yay! Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be a lawsuit.
Sega Genesis is getting a brand new cartridge release for the first two Sonic the Hedgehog games.
Interesting.
They run $100 a piece. They're coming out later this month for the Sonic 35th anniversary.
Are they like special blue cartridges or something?
I think so.
Are they encrusted with diamond?
No, sadly not.
I'm guessing they're officially licensed by Sega, though.
Yes, I would say that they are.
Hence the cost.
Yeah. Some spouses on the internet are worried about GTA 6's in-depth relationship mechanics being too close to the real thing, making it akin to cheating. I laughed at that, but then I also remember being in my 20s and dating a guy that basically ignored me for weeks every time a new, like, Gears of War game came out or something. So I kind of get the concept of temporary emotional or intellectual infidelity or whatnot, but I think people are just losing their shit over nothing. Have you guys seen how in-depth the game mechanics are? You can, like, go on dates and hold hands and do all the things.
Interesting.
I laugh.
They're just getting too fucking realistic. I heard Rockstar pulled a mechanic where you kept their fridge stocked.
Huh. Thank fuck for that.
Because
that
was
been goddamn annoying.
Too real. Like, it's already too realistic. Like,
well, you can open your fridge in your apartment and you can pull out several different kinds of drinks that do things like up your energy, like an energy drink, and other ones that do different buffs, it sounds like. So
The more I hear about GTA, the less interested I get.
That's kind of where I'm at.
My opinion is for all of these people who are like, oh, I'm worried because the relationship stuff is so in-depth. Get more fucking interesting real fucking quick then, because if your partner is like, oh, I'd rather pretend date this character, then they are not connecting with you the fuck at all, and there is something clearly wrong there, and y'all need to fucking figure some shit out. You should not be worried about a fucking game. If you are, there are other fucking problems. The game is no longer the problem, people. Get some damn therapy or something, for fuck's sake.
I don't even know if I'd go with therapy. I'd just say, like, just end it. Like, if you're seriously that afraid, just end it.
Don't say that on the show to tell people. Jesus Christ, dude.
No, like, end the relationship. Like, seriously.
Fuck. That's not what I thought you were saying.
Off yourself.
Oh, no. End the relationship. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if I would necessarily go that.
No, I would, because honestly, like, if you're that paranoid that your significant other is gonna start dating the other player, like the other character in GTA, like, you've one or both of you have some serious issues, and neither of you should be together. Then, like. That's just not, it's not realistic. Like,
fair enough, I guess.
Like, you know what? Right. My wife is here. Jess, if I bought Grand Theft Auto 6, would you believe, like, would you be afraid that I'd start dating the other woman character that my character has a relationship with? Would you start caring that I care more about this video game character than you? Thank you. She said no, by the way. I don't know if you heard that.
No, we didn't hear anything.
No, we just heard the laugh.
Okay, all right, yeah. She had a really weird look at me when I, like, was describing the issue. And
yeah, she probably thought, do you think this other person would take you?
Oh.
What'd you say, Aki?
Oh. No.
Moments passed. I'm just going to have to re-listen.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, changing subjects to something completely horrible. You can now go to the whitehouse.gov/arcade website to find web browser games based on classic arcade games with themes like the Flappy Bird Eagle flying a bill to Congress, the Trump Savings Tycoon, where you fill your kid's Trump savings account by collecting the flying money, Sort the School Lunch to Make America Healthy Again, which is kind of a tapper game. You can build a Tetris wall to protect from the oncoming horde. And the Border Patrol snake-like game where you try to terrorize and deport brown skin people. More games coming soon.
Yay. What was the Trump named one?
Let's see. You mean the Border Patrol one?
No, the one that has his name in it.
Trump Savings Tycoon.
That's it. My web browser has a plugin that replaces his name, so that was just Cunt Bucket Savings Tycoon for me.
There you go.
Yes. That's perfect.
That's how I feel. I think that says enough.
Yeah.
I hate the real world and everything in it. I don't know
how that got
past anybody. I don't even, you know.
Two of those are outright racist. How
they
how
are very
prove that
or act like going to be on thin ice with that snake game.
Very much so.
My soul.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, Jacob, what do you got?
Okay, well, hopefully this is stuff that nobody else has covered because I had to go take a pee break. So I apologize if I know you guys will shout at me if I start talking about things that we're already talking about. Yeah, I know.
I'll shout out you either way.
That's mean. All right, so, I need the sound clip. No, that's noise suppression. What the hell?
Ooh, that's not the sound I was expecting.
Fallout is getting a pinball machine from Stern.
Ooh.
Nice.
Announced yesterday, well, teased yesterday, like, kind of not officially announced, but, I mean, they put a fucking Pip-Boy on the screen, so, like, you know, yeah, I think we all knew what it was. Anyway, so, yeah, if you want to go over to Stern's website, you could take a look at the Fallout pinball machine, as well as, like, the special edition version of it. So we got that coming, which is pretty cool. Also, Squadron 42 has been delayed to 2027. Yep. Unsurprisingly, because... Well, Cloud Imperium, the devs of Star Citizen, are blaming GTA 6. You know, it just would have shipped by the end of this year, but wouldn't you fucking know it? GTA 6 was right around the corner, and we just don't need it stealing our thunder. So, you know.
It's not even on the same platform.
Obvious. Well, wait. I thought it was going to get a console release.
GTA 6 is getting a console release, but no PC. I didn't hear that Squadron 42 was getting a console release.
I thought it was. Like, I thought that was the point.
PC is delayed at some point. I don't know. I have to look it up. I thought it was only on PC.
Son of a bitch. God, oh, no. I think you're right. Like, because Eurogamer is only showing it for PC. God damn. Ah, God, I really got swindled on that $60. Okay. Anyway. So Vector Unit, which, you know, we like to bring on the show every once in a while, they have a new Riptide GP that's in the works.
Nice.
There is a work in progress screenshot that you can view on their, Facebook page, dated August 27th. But, yeah, those folks are still very much alive and kicking, the Beach Buggy Racing too. You know, that thing, I think, is like a huge mobile game, so that's really their bread and butter right now. But, you know, it's 10 years ago, Riptide GP Renegade got released, and so I think they figured it's time for a new one. So I'm hoping, you know, one day we'll get a Mousebot too. I love that game.
I'd love to get them back on sometime. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a while.
I didn't even know they were still doing stuff, so it's good to hear they're still kicking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I follow them on Facebook. Like, they really do a lot of the Beach Buggy Racing stuff. Like, they regularly have events with Hot Wheels.
That's cool.
So we might be getting a new StarCraft game. Apparently, Arc Raiders publisher Nexon is working on securing a license to develop some sort of a new StarCraft game. Pretty much nobody knows what the plan is, but, you know, it's really, like, StarCraft is still huge over in South Korea. It's still one of the top 10 most played games in their internet cafes, despite being almost 30 years old. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense that South Korea would still be interested in it.
Your chair's squeaky as fuck, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. I realized that as, like, I lean back and I'm just like, shit. I'm just, like, yeah. So,
yeah, there's the Blizzard website, like the StarCraft website, is having glitched out visuals. They think something's going to be announced at BlizzCon.
Ooh, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's been rumored that, we were getting something new with StarCraft, but now it's rumored that we might be getting two new games.
Interesting.
But yeah, let's see. The group behind Star Wars Zero Company, most of the devs with it, from Bitreactor were furloughed weeks ago, about 80% of the team. Also, Don't Nod is there's concerns about impending layoffs with them as well. Pretty much it's just, you know, Don't Nod is saying that they're going through a transformation project. So a lot of people are nervous about that. Okay. And then I got two other things. So I still lean back again. I'm sorry. we talked about the Steam leak a couple of weeks ago, right?
Briefly. Yeah.
Okay. So in case you folks weren't paying attention,
12 terabyte of data was stolen.
Yeah. Like an insane amount of data. And the thing, and the worst thing, quote unquote, is that it's not like anybody just really swiped it. Like, you know, like they didn't really hack into things. This was all publicly accessible stuff that they just figured out the back doors on. Like anybody could have grabbed this. Like this was not like any kind of elite hacksaw scenario. So anyways, people are combing through all the data, and I totally forgot that this thing got announced like way back in the day, and then it just kind of like died because, you know, they stopped production on the game. The Scream video game, which was going to be an isometric horror multiplayer horror game, or asymmetric horror game, playable online, and this is years before Dead Before Daylight came out. But one person was going to run around as Ghostface, and everyone else was just going to try to escape or kill Ghostface. Pretty much it's a fully playable game. They've managed to actually get online multiplayer running in it. There's a few things missing, but like this game was like nearly done, and then they just kind of dumped it. And now people are going around playing it. So that's pretty cool. There's also a cow that is now playing Eve Online. The devs have set up, or Fenris Creations has set up a stream with a bunch of cameras pointed at a small enclosure with a cow, and there's buttons spread all around the area that she steps on as she moves around, and apparently she's been mining stuff, like, decently. Like, so if you like Eve Online,
I mean, you could watch it while listening to Eve Radio, which is fantastic.
I mean,
the SNL podcast, which is less fantastic.
You could do that too.
It's mediocre. Yeah. But yeah, if you're complaining that Eve Online is too, you know, complicated for you to play, just know that a cow is doing relatively okay in it. And then
it's movie watch. There.
We got a new Street Fighter trailer. Holy shit. And we got plenty of new scenes that got added to it. I'm excited about it. My kids are super stoked about it. Like, we are going to be there opening night for that thing. The possible spoiler action figure that was discussed back at Toy Fair, or we didn't discuss it, but we talked about how we posted it up on Facebook. That's now actually been revealed in this trailer, along with better looks at Akuma, Vega, Dalsim, Guile. We get to see Dan finally. And also we get to see a little bit more action out of Joe, which I am lay sad. I don't know if Joe's going to win this movie. I don't know if he's going to win the tournament.
Why?
Have you guys watched the trailer?
No.
Oh, okay. So Joe apparently gets to fight Akuma, and
he's not going to do well.
Yeah, no, he's not going to do well. And like, you just see the scene where, like, Akuma's, like, uppercutting him in the chest, and his chest is, like, glowing with, like, this purple energy. And I'm just like, oh, he's... I don't think Joe's gonna live. God damn it. I really was hoping that, you know, I mean, I knew not in a million fucking years this would ever happen, but I was really hoping that Joe would be like the secret winner of the Street Fighter tournament. I thought that would be hilarious. But yeah, it does not look like he is, I don't know if he's going to survive, folks. So, oh yeah.
Also, I don't even remember who Joe is, to be honest.
Joe was only in the first Street Fighter game. He's obviously one of your opponents. He's that minor. Like, he only showed up in the first game. He's easy to beat.
Why would you expect him to have any kind of...
Because I thought it would be hilarious.
You're a wiener.
I know I'm a wiener, but anyway. Also, we got to see more of E. Honda, which I thought, like, it's a pretty cool scene. This movie gleefully, this movie is gleefully celebrating Street Fighter. I am here for it. It's going to be awesome. So, anyway, that's all I got.
All right.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! All right, with that, should we move on to our reviews? Because we got a bunch to talk about still.
Let's do it.
No long ones.
Okay.
First game to talk about tonight is Marsupilami 2 Salsa Palombia, developed by Ocella Studio, published by Microids. Released September 3rd, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $29.99. A strange melody is swept across Palombia, and all the animals have suddenly started dancing, leaving chaos in their wake. The creature behind this crazy beat is none other than the Mummy Queen, back from the Land of the Dead with her minions to play a cursed concert with a calamitous crescendo. Jacob, what is going on in Marsupilami 2, Salsa Palombia?
So, for most of us who will remember Marsupilami, we're probably remembering, like, the 1990s cartoon show that Disney briefly had on for a couple of years, trying to make Marsupilami, like, the next big thing, because Disney was actually trying to buy it. And then it never really stuck in America, and they just were kind of like, oh, never mind, we'll just let the French have their thing. I don't ever recall watching it. I was like, when that show was on, I was very heavily a Kids WB kid. And so
it doesn't matter.
I just, yeah.
Game.
So it did. Oh, right. Okay. So in this game, it is a platformer aimed at kids. So let me preface it on that. And you are playing as these three different marsupilamis. I don't really know that much about the series. It's just
they are marsupilami. Like, yes.
Okay. So anyways, it's these three different ones. Each of them has like a different kind of like power set and how they how they're able to jump around or fly around in some instances, but also like attacks that they have, all that kind of stuff. And so the game, as I said, is a platformer, and it really harkens back. It kind of has like retro, like Disney's Lion King kind of vibes to it, but also mixing in like some Rayman Legends. If you remember that from back on the Xbox 360. And it's really fun just going through all these different levels. And the game does hold your hand at first, introducing everybody's powers, how to switch between characters, and all that kind of stuff. And as you're going through the levels, you have to collect all these different, there's collectibles. You have to collect all these different fruits, but there's also other stuff like musical notes that you need to collect. And the musical notes are actually pretty important, because if you don't collect enough, you're not going to be able to like take on the various bosses. Ooh. And so, you know, if you don't you know, if you haven't done enough, you're going to have to replay some of these levels again, which is not a, like, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, worst case scenario, ask a grown up for help. If you're a grown up, ask your kid for help.
And there is local co-op. So you can ask for help.
Which is great because, yeah, like, I could see, I mean, at this point in my kids' lives, they definitely wouldn't need my help with this game. But, you know, when they were like 4 or 5, I could see that happening.
But you still need their help.
Shut up. Anyway, so you have to move through all these different levels. And as Joe was explaining with the storyline, these very, like, they're kind of like skeleton creatures. They really, like, one of them kind of looks like a heavy metal rock guy. Another one kind of reminds me of like a Mexican, like Day of the Dead kind of character. But the boss battles are very firmly rooted in kind of like a, as I said, like Rayman Legends thing. And so it's a lot of dodging their attacks and dealing with a constantly changing arena area, usually in waves, because it'll take like three successful waves to defeat one of the bosses and stuff like that. And so, you know, honestly, like, it's a pretty chill game all in all. Like, I mean, you can't really die in the game. Like, it just spits you back to the last save point. And, you know, it'll show you
visual style to it. I love what Ocellus does with visuals, with their, the 3D, just everything has a very,
it's a very
poppy, clean, crisp,
but retro. Yeah. It's a very clean, but also retro look to it too. Like, as I was saying, it looks fantastic. The music, it's got a nice little groove to it. I mean, I'm not playing this game for the music, but mostly for the gameplay. And honestly, like, as I said, like, it's fairly easy to go along with. But yeah, like, I'm having fun with it. Like, I'm going to be seeing this game through the end. I haven't beaten it yet. I'm already past like the first boss. But yeah, like,
does,
you know, if you're looking
for people, let me talk.
No.
Boo.
Yeah, none of them talk.
Okay. No hoobas? No hooba ops?
I mean, like, there I mean, there is like a hooba kind of thing, but I...
All right.
She's not asking if they speak English, just if they speak their speaky...
Like English. A babbly? Like they're babbly kind of like stuff? Hooba, yeah, kind of. Yeah, like, they make noises and stuff, yeah.
All right, I'm in.
All right, yeah. No, like, these games are definitely worth checking out. Like, I mean, I like the previous one that Mike Rhodes had released, and honestly, I feel like this one just built on that and was honestly a much more accessible and more fun version. Like, the other one just felt like, yeah, it's a platformer with Marsupilami. Like, it... I don't know. It didn't do much for me. This one's got some staying power to it. Like, this one's going to be staying on my Xbox for a bit. But yeah.
Cool. Well, it clocks in at $30. What is your verdict on Marsupilami 2?
Easily worth it. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people will poo-poo license games, but this isn't one to sleep on. Like, this, like, Mike Rhodes has released a few action platformer games over the last few years, some of them with mixed results, like Space Adventure Cobra. This one, do not sleep on. This one you should definitely pick up.
Yeah, and like, I really like Ocellus. They're the ones who've done the Asterix and Obelix games.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Solid. All right. Yeah, I've played their stuff before on that then too.
Yeah.
So.
All right, next up is The Immortal John Triptych, developed by Joe Richardson, published by Akupara Games. It released August 27th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch One, Switch 2, PS5, $24.99. Immortal John is dying. A holy war has ended in chaos. Sin itself demands reckoning. Three interconnected tales unfold across a world built from Renaissance paintings and classical music, where the ridiculous and the profound collide, help locals with their daily tasks, only to find the devil lurking in the shadows, navigate sin, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, all topped with a cherry of gleeful flippancy. Bree, what is the immortal John Triptych?
So first, I am so excited to finally get to play the other Joe Richardson games. A couple years ago, I played Procession to Calvary, because that was what was available on Xbox. This is a triptych or trilogy of games about Immortal John, sort of. This is an interconnected bit of story based on Renaissance paintings where you play different characters traveling through the world on some kind of quest. The art is animated scenes from famous paintings like Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights, which is a triptych itself. The humor is absurd and sometimes a bit vulgar. maybe a lot. I will get there. It's a point-and-click adventure where you explore these detailed environments, and of course there's artistic nudity because Renaissance artists were going to do their thing. Yeah, the themes in this game are like sin and redemption. I think the absurdist humor does its job making, one, very little sense, and two, pointing out how convoluted and silly everyday life sometimes is. But just expect the unexpected, like shitting down a chimney and a penis flapping about with a never-ending stream of piss spewing forth. And I would dare say that the game gets increasingly vulgar as the series progresses. And a little bit of warning, there is a scene where you have to shoot a bunch of birds and they splatter everywhere when you do it. There's also some depictions of torture. This is a mature game for sure, not just in its content rating, but it requires some intelligence to get some of the humor, because puns are some of the highest form of humor, and this is very punny. Like, there's a group of horn players in the cemetery, and their tag is just horny men. Also, there's an entire small section in one of the games that is just, it just basically goes on and on about how great tits are, in case you weren't clear on what's going on here. So I thought I would take a look at each story somewhat individually, and then we'll talk about the collection again as a whole at the end. So first is Four Last Things, which is about a man who wishes to be absolved of his sins, for which he has committed all of them over a period of time. And the church is less than helpful and claims that they can't take his confession unless he did all the sinning in the region of their parish. So the solution is to go out and sin some more in the area and come back to the church later. So you adventure around talking with various partially animated characters from paintings that are placed in the background of another, and wandering in and out of the like 2.5D environment sort of thing, you know, in that point and click kind of way. And I mean, you can actually like walk with your stick, which is great. It's not like clicking to move to the next area. And when you successfully commit a sin, you get a giant wheel that looks like it came from another Bosch painting about sins, popping up with a celebration of which sin it is. Like, you trick a blind painter into painting your portrait and then use that as a reference to make a statue of yourself. And ding! Pride! This is probably the shortest of the games in the triptych. No less enjoyable than the others. And the premise of the story is like really fun, and it pokes a little fun at the Renaissance era church. And then we have Procession to Calvary, which I mentioned I had played a couple years ago. This is probably the meatiest of the games task wise in the series. It has multiple endings. So don't worry,
is
though.
That included in this?
Yes.
Oh wow! So the whole whole game is in this.
Yes.
Nice.
And extra stuff, too. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, you can use your saves to do a couple of the different endings so you don't have to replay the entire game to get there. Starts out with a ton of violence as our main character is participating in the Holy War with some super cool slaughter scenes to do some superhero-style slaughtering. But then the war is over and there's no more murder allowed for free. And we're sad about that. So we go to see Immortal John. Remember him? Our leader. And he looks awfully familiar. We get permission, sort of, to kill one more person, namely Heavenly Peter. And so that's the quest here. Along the way, we'll travel by boat, but only after we found some oars and process by donkey to the south. Also, something worth noting in this particular game, you have the opportunity to die a few times, so be prepared to load your save. Save often. There's also some fantastic fourth wall breaks in this one. They're rather obviously addressed as such as well. It also includes a loot goblin. That's L-U-T-E. We also give the famous girl with the pearl earring her namesake. This was maybe one of the more obtuse ones for clues on what to do. But a fabulous game. I highly recommend playing. And that was my first introduction to this trilogy. So there you go. And then we get to Death of the Reprobate, the third in the series, which takes us on a journey that starts with people with minor crimes being sentenced to horrible things by the interim leader. That's you. And then a messenger comes announcing that Immortal John, your dad, is dying. Remember him? This is a story about him, sort of. And since we were a horrible shit doing a heckin' bunch of sin and cruelty to people as the interim leader, we now have to prove to Papa that we have an ounce of good in us and perform 7 good deeds before sundown. We are given the hint that God will guide us, and in fact an image of God, from the whole Garden of Eden scene in an earlier section of the trilogy, is there to guide us with a wooden arrow sign over the fisherman that we need to talk to as a giant clue. And then we find other people that we can help that also have this giant, you know, piece of wooden arrow stuck over their head by some guy who looks like God. So God is guiding us. And clearly, obviously, we should look elsewhere and not under this arrow. This game has actually got a built-in hint system, which is great to sort of figure out how to accomplish our tasks by asking a guru for spiritual enlightenment. But our good deeds take us on the path of sinning. It's quite entertaining. Probably the most vulgar of the series is Death of the Reprobate, and may actually be my favorite now.
Oh.
So let's talk about the collection as a whole again. Controls are pretty simple. You use the right stick to cursor around, and it magnetizes slightly to hotspots to help illustrate them. You press A on the hotspot, and a little wheel of options will come up where you can look further, you can talk or grab. You have an inventory you can bring up with Y that it's fairly drag and drop from there. And sometimes it's fun to just try things and see where they take us, like the talk button on some priests may actually spit on them, or you can spank a bishop with the hand symbol. Graphics in this, obviously, we talk about the Renaissance art, but in this case, the art is from various sources. It's not all Renaissance. There's a few other pieces in there, and they're blended so well together. There's excellent depth and color and animations. They're all delightful. There's musicians, there's like little things. Musicians are using different kinds of horns, and they're all moving their fingers, or their cheeks are puffing, and stuff like that. There's even little smoke effects and other good, like, motions added to the original art that really brings it to life. And if you're curious about the artists of the original paintings that they use, there's some kind of gallery in every game in the triptych that gives you info on all the paintings that are used.
Cool.
But you know, it's kind of like some Terry Gilliam Monty Python animations where the main character head bobs and their arms flop when they run. It's very silly. And the music is incredible if you like medieval and Renaissance style music or other classical music. It's got a lot of lutes and fiddles and harpsichord and crumb horns and the like. There are some modern pieces, but often done in a medieval style. It's really delightful. I also liked how you could see where the music was coming from, especially in the last two games. And there were some recognizable tunes if you're into medieval Renaissance history, like dance music, so that was cool. There are also some extras in this collection, like the ability to see a mobile build that is quite hilarious. There is a time-lapse section of how the art is done with layers and buildings and color correction that make the various painting elements come together. There are deleted scenes for each game that unlock once you finish them and comes with text, creator, commentary while you interact with the scenes. I did run into a couple small issues with Death of the Reprobate. When I went to use the magic flute on the well to turn it into a hot tub, I got stuck on the screen, and I got stuck another time with the magic flute. I don't remember, but thankfully, I save often. There's a decent autosave in this as well, so if you get stuck, it should not be the end of the world.
That's good.
Overall, the collection worked great, and I had a great time revisiting Joe Richardson's world.
Very good. The whole time you're telling me about this game, all I could think about is this little poem my dad used to tell me when I was a kid. This is not related at all, but I still want to do it. And I'm probably missing chunks of it, but I'm just going from memory as a kid. One bright day in the middle of the night, 2 dead men got up to fight, 3 blind men to see fair play, 40 mutes to yell hooray. Back to back, they faced each other, drew their swords and shot each other.
Yes, that's pretty spot on. I recognize that. Yes.
My dad used to tell me that all the time.
Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah, Immortal John Triptych is $25. Shit. What do you think?
Hold on, I had to drink. If you like Monty Python, the Intellivision, I know, right? if you like Monty Python and the intelligent version of vulgar and absurdist humor, I had to write that down. Is that even a thing? Intelligent and vulgar humor.
It is
there
now.
You go. If you like some historic arts, this game is for you. If you're on the fence, after everything I just said, there's a free trial, at least on Xbox. I don't know if PlayStation and Switch do trials. I don't know. I had way too much fun with this. I think you will too. It's a buy it for me, and it earns a spot in my top 25 indies of the year on Xbox so far.
There you go. Yeah, I was watching you stream this one. This is funny as hell.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, up next is Apidia Special, developed by Team Apidia, published by In-In Games, released August 25th on Series X and S, Switch 2, and PS5 for $19.99. Developed by the original team, together with a devoted Apidia superfan-turned-developer, Apidia Special is based on a previously abandoned 1990s console port, combining original assets with all-new pixel art, additional authentic sound effects, and remixed music. Legendary composer Chris Hulsbeck contributes exclusive new studio versions of the iconic soundtrack that have never been released before. Jacob, what is going on in Apidia's special?
So Apidia is a shmup that, it's a horizontal shmup, I should clarify, that was released for the Amiga back in the early 90s. And the storyline is insane. So the bad guy steals your girlfriend and you use magic to turn into this bee. And so you're going to fly around as this bee and like shoot lasers and missiles and all this other kind of crap. And it's like to get your girl back. And meanwhile, you're dealing with like the actual environment. And so you're blasting away and dodging against bugs, poison gas, which like if you let it hit you, all of a sudden like your controls are it flips the screen, so it's like upside down, and your controls are reversed for like a few seconds, so you're gonna die. And you also need to get used to that. You're gonna die a lot in this game. So be forewarned on this.
Does it have rich kid strats? Can you quarter your way through the game?
So kind of like there are various levels of difficulty that you could do. Like there, I think it's like practice, which I don't know what the hell practice is, like what the point of it is other than not giving you any achievements. I don't like, it's just there. There's easy, normal, and difficult. And yeah, so theoretically you could power your way through a bit with easy, but even then the game doesn't let you have like infinite credits or anything like that. I still have not seen the ending of this game. But yeah, like you're dodging like all these various things. Like there are like bosses that you have to beat. And it's just like, it's a really wild and inventive shmup. Like I've never really seen anything like this. Like it's like so many of them feel like they're just like absolutely like cookie cutter. And it's like, yeah, you're flying a plane and you have to go blow up some shit. Like this is like,
you're a bee shooting.
Yeah, you're a bee. And like, yeah, and like on top of it, like if you're getting too close to the water, there's a fucking fish that's gonna like try to bite you, or like there is a, like you're flying past like some trash that's on the ground and there is a duck like with its eye like definitely like checking you out, and it's just like like I'm nervously like trying to avoid shit and also wondering whether the duck is an actual character or if it's just there in the background and that thing's like gonna come at me like, you know, like the T-Rex from like from the old Jurassic Park game. And there's just like so many like environmental things that you could dodge. And I will say, the game does have a huge learning curve on it because it's real hard to figure out like what, like, because some things may fly in one level, like you could definitely like go underwater in certain levels, but then other ones, like if you touch the water, you're dead. And so the game doesn't really quite make like what's like, you just have to die a lot and figure shit out.
So it's like an old arcade game.
Yeah, very much. Like this thing is going to eat, like this thing is going to eat all your damn quarters. Like, and the thing is that like, it's so unique and like and addictive at the same time that it's just, you know, like you got to check this out. Like, this is a great shoot 'em up. I suck at it. I'm awful at it. Like I can only get to like the second world, but or second, you know, past the first boss. But like, you know, I really want to see more of this game, and I'm hoping I can get better at it. Either that, or I'm gonna have to watch somebody do a long play on YouTube.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do that because you suck at games. Shut up. Got to give them a shout out because there was no emulation in this game. It was completely rebuilt from the ground up from scratch.
Oh wow!
You can seamlessly switch between the original 4:3 look or HD widescreen, yep.
Which is pretty cool because. My wife was actually playing this earlier today, because I was like, oh man, this game's really difficult. And like, you know, I really like, I'm hoping I could get farther in this game, you know, in time for the review. And she's like,
and then she beat you.
Maybe just, no, she didn't beat me. Shut up. Anyway,
she beat you.
No, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
She get as far as me anyway. But yeah, like, so she was just like, oh, well, you probably just suck at it. And so she sat down and was playing it, and she was like, damn, this really is hard. Like, so be prepared for a challenge with this game, but it's really cool. And you, like, I really think you should check it out. Like, if you're a fan of shmups, retro games, all that kind of stuff, like, hell yeah.
Inan has been picking some weird stuff to bring over. So I like what Inan's been doing.
Yeah, we need more stuff like this. Like, I've never heard of this game until now, so hell yeah.
It is, it clocks in at $20. What do you think of it?
Totally. Buy it, buy it, buy it. Give the team some love. We need more releases like this. Okay. Like, I want to see what else this team ever did. Like, actually, I can look that up on, I think, oh, fuck, they got bought up by Ubisoft. Well, god damn it. Anyway, well,
moving on.
Hopefully the team will, you know, go revisit their earlier stuff. So,
oh, well, moving on. Let's talk about Fofumiya, developed and published by Actune Studio, released September 2nd on Steam for $15.99. Cyclops kittens, cozy vacation, and lots of cuteness. Welcome to Fofumiya and meet Amanda and Luno as their quiet vacation quickly turns into an unexpected adventure. Bree, what is Fofumiya?
This is a cute campaign with 13 levels to explore and organize. It's a combination of hidden object and organizer game. The game starts out with a little comic about our characters named Amanda and Luno, and it proceeds into a cute little partly animated story about how life gets messy sometimes, and you just have to pick up the pieces and move on, or at least that was my take. Luno is a Fofuno, which is like a fluffy cyclops cat breed, and like any other cat breed, Luno is a bit of a terror when it comes to knocking things over and making a mess, but they're so cute, right? So you can't be mad. Not too mad. Each level or environment will have a count of things that are out of place, and you can use the shadows or like silhouettes of items to know where they go. Things will magnetize to the orientation of the shadow when you hover over them. And if you get stuck and you can't find the object, there's a radar button you can press. It'll give you a red highlight of the objects that are in the area. You'll have to figure out where they go, though. And there is an item tally in the top right corner of your screen, so you know how many things you have to find still. Luno will also break things from time to time, and you'll need to put them back together with tape and glue. You'll have some flowers that might need dead petals plucked, or leaves or something, and other things that need to just be cleaned or sorted after a scuffle. This little mini game section will pop up, and like whenever you place an item that needs extra help in its place, and you just you know, brush away the dirt, and it's very peaceful and fun. The basic loop of the game is that you get your little partly animated story about Amanda's day, how Luno and Luno's Fofuno friends mess things up all over the house, her work, the market, and such, and then we move things back into place. Sometimes it isn't even the cute Caddo's fault, like when you get to the market and a strong wind pops up and moves everything all around. Luno and his friends will still fight, jump around, and generally be adorably annoying while you sort and clean and fix stuff up. You can grab them by the scruff with your mouse and move them out of the way for a few, though. You can also take away their toys, which are usually items you need to place somewhere anyway. And the cute little buggers will also curl up and sleep, or they'll give you some come pet me eye, and you can pet them. Little hearts pop up. It's super cute. Controller works on this. I actually didn't use it. This is an easy mouseable game for me. You can do just about everything you need, from pluck and place to zoom. You can use the arrow keys or WASD to walk around the screen, or move it around the screen, I should say. But I don't remember them telling me that in the tutorial section. I just kind of figured that part out on my own from necessity. Something bounced off screen. I couldn't figure out how to find it at first. Or there was a level where there didn't seem to be enough items or spaces until I moved the screen to finish the puzzle. So that's like my one big criticism on this. I just don't remember there being a little tutorial about that moving the screen thing. I will say there was a nice accessibility feature on mouse clicks, though. When you go into one of the cleaning type mini games, you can either hold the mouse button and move the brush around for that tactile feel, or you can intermittently click the mouse and it will do a little cleaning animation for a second or two, so you don't have to hold or rapid click, which I thought was a nice touch. Graphics are soft, they look hand-drawn, it's a soft palette of colors pleasing to the eye, which helps with the cozy atmosphere it's going for with the gameplay. Music and sound effects were a nice addition. There's some background music that's kind of fun and peppy while still being chill. And you'll have lots of mews and hisses and kitty snores coming from the Fofunos too. It is not a particularly long game. It's 13 levels. It does not also outstay its welcome, which is great. I'd say it's somewhere in the 3 to 6 hour range, longer if you're taking notes and getting distracted by your own cats making a mess. And I would say this is a pretty quality game.
All right. It clocks in at $15.99. What are your thoughts on this game at $16?
If you have played some of Actune's other games, like Wind Peaks or Like No Other, I think you'll like this. The art style is similar. The game is cute and cozy. It's a decent price, especially if you grab it on the launch sale in the next 2 weeks. I'm giving this a buy it.
Very good. Let's move on to As Divine Not, developed by XCreate, published by Chemco, released September 4th, Xbox, Play Anywhere, Switch, Switch 2, PS4, PS5, PC, $19.99. A young cleric named Verselio once devoted his life to serving the deity Tresis, until the truth shattered everything he believed. When the divine is revealed to be a lie, faith turns into fury and a journey of rebellion begins. Joined by a mysterious maiden, a disciplined vigilante chef, or chief, oh my, that'd be great if he was a chef, and a self-proclaimed deity, Verselio sets out across a vast fantasy world in search of answers. Jacob, how is the food from the chef?
It's pretty good. I mean, you actually can recruit they're not exactly a chef, but like you can actually like recruit somebody to open up like a food stall in your ship. But I'm getting ahead of myself on this. So As Divine Hearts, or sorry, not sorry, Hearts is a different one. I don't know if these games are all connected. I assume they are.
There are a lot of As Divine titles.
Yeah, like, is it like Final Fantasy where, like, I mean, they all have somebody named Sid and that's about it? Like, and they're all different?
I'm really not too sure. There are too many.
Okay, well, anyway.
Hearts, not Saga, Cross.
So, in this one, it is a, like, it's a JRPG. And, you know, as I was playing this, because first off, I don't play these kind of games too much. Like, really, the one where it's like you become a villain, like that was the first one I'd played in ages, like honestly decades. And I had a shit ton of fun with it, and I was like, hell yeah, like I'm ready for like the next one that comes around, because hopefully it'll be like that. And One of the things I thought was kind of interesting is that, like, there is that, like, there's that joke about, like, JRPGs where it's just like, hey, we're going to go send a bunch of kids and teenagers and they're going to go off and kill God, you know, like that's just like some normal plot, versus, like, you know, what happens to, like, in American RPGs. And, yeah, that's actually totally what is happening in this one.
Yeah, they're all like it's that. Like,
yeah, I'm
now you see where the trope comes from.
Yeah, like it's kind of funny. Like I was just like, oh wow, yeah, we're on a mission to go kill God. All right, that's fun. So this guy, he's preparing to like be like a cleric, and he's like the town's cleric for a number of years, and then something goes wrong, and he realizes everything that he has based his life around is an absolute lie and it's absolute shit. And he's just like, yeah, fuck this. I'm going to go kill God if I'm not going to get killed first. And so, he starts going around and like recruiting all these people and finding like some people are like, oh, hey, like I want to do the same exact thing. So let's team up. And so you get a couple of team members that way, and you end up with this huge airship that kind of like becomes like your customizable area that lets you like if you have certain buildings and like they're upgraded a certain way, it'll give you various benefits in and outside of battles, very much like the previous Kemco RPG that I had played. And so I'm wondering if like this is just how Kemco's bread and butter is with these kind of RPGs. So if like you've played one, you generally get the system of the rest of them, because it has a lot of the same features as that, which honestly I found kind of comforting because I was like, okay, I'm not going to need to learn a bunch of new shit like just so I could play this game. And like there was like one. There is like one thing that's called like a nexus move or something like that. Essentially what that is that like you're combining the powers of two people at once to do one attack. That's ideally going to do more damage than previous, but yeah, like you get an interesting cast of characters with it. The game moves at a pretty solid pace. And there are various difficulties that you can set it on. So if like you're really just there for the story, you can have it so you're just essentially wiping out everybody every single battle. Unless the story calls for you to not, you know, like free, it calls for you to get your butt kicked. Because occasionally in RPGs you do have that. So as I said, it moves along at a pretty quick pace, and it is adjustable. There is like a season pass thing, which I think is a leftover from when it was like a mobile title, because I believe a lot of these Kemco things, like they get turned into like console releases once everything is all said and done. But there is like a season pass kind of update that you could get in-game, and once you've earned enough in-game currency to quote-unquote buy it, it just unlocks like more supplies for you to use, and you know, so your team can kick more butt as you go along. The sprites look great. My kids were really interested in the art style, and I don't think they had watched me play the previous Kemco RPG. Like I may have just exclusively played that late at night, and this one I was just playing during the day, and they're like, whoa, what is this? And so hopefully like my kids are about to get into JRPGs, which may, you know, I mean, it's either that or else they get addicted to, you know, to like meth one day. So fingers crossed, JRPGs.
Stay positive.
You know, you know, it's either that or else premarital sex, one of the two. Yeah, like I'm having fun with this. Like the art looks great. I mean, the gameplay plays a lot similar to the previous one I played, and I'm having fun with it. Like, this is cool. I didn't like I'm I'm thankful for these like Kemco titles, because it's just like, oh, it's a JRPG I can get into. Like, it's simple. Jesus Christ, my house is shaking. This Thunder. Is possibly not good. Well, remember, we're in a tornado warning, so... Okay, well, anyway.
Try not to blow away, please.
So, well...
That would be awkward to hear.
So, if I die, note that as Divine Knot, I really enjoyed it. Make sure that's written on my tombstone. Okay, he was just getting, you can cry at my funeral. He's just getting into JRPGs. It's so sad. Okay, anyway, buy it. You know, check out Kemco's other stuff. They make good titles.
Cool. Up next, Infection Free Zone, developed by Jutsu Games, published by Ultimate Games, released August 27th on Series X and S for $29.99. The mad virus has spread throughout the world, and with the speed of jet planes, the infected are highly aggressive, fast, and strong. In a couple of weeks, society collapsed, cities are empty, there's no electricity, no water, and no food, yet there are a few survivors. Ultimate Games were nice enough to hook us up with a few extra copies of this game. I say we give one away before the review. What do you think?
Sounds like a great idea.
Let's do this. Giveaway, draw, congrats to... Latino Heat just won a copy of the game. Aki, for the people who don't know what the game is, tell us about it. What is Infection Free Zone?
I think Aki might have left the building. Aki
may have left the building. Next game to talk about, Arcade Archives 2, Satan of Saturn, developed and published by Hamster Corporation, released August 25th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5 for $9.99. Satan of Saturn is a shooting game released by SNK in 1981. Fire your missiles and laser beams to take down the UFOs and rockets coming to invade Earth. Clear the Earth stages and blast off for Saturn. Win the decisive battle against Satan of Saturn. Jacob, what is Satan of Saturn, and is he as cool as, like, Ozzy made him out to be?
I don't know, because this game kicks my ass too much for me to find out. So, Satan of Saturn is essentially, like, Space Invaders with some stuff changed up on it, and, like... pretty much you are this like tiny little spaceship, and you have a decent amount of area to move around in. And these enemy UFOs are coming down from Saturn, as you might have suspected. And you have to blast them out of the sky. And what I think is really cool is that, like, unlike Space Invaders, where you're stuck, you know, like you're just stuck on the ground, like you can't like move around beyond like the bottom of the screen. Like you can move around like a little, like, you know, enough to dodge some stuff. And so the enemy will actually like come down on the ground and then like move up and like try to crash into you. While it's also firing like lasers and missiles at you. And so you've got lots of stuff to dodge, and it really added an interesting element to it. It's hard as hell. But like you definitely feel accomplished every single wave that you manage to kill, you know, on your way to hopefully eventually defeating Satan, like, you know, Satan on Saturn. This is definitely a game that was there to eat your quarters or your, you know, or your Japanese yen, because it, like, you get three lives and anything touches you, you are dead. If a blast hits you, you're dead. If a laser hits you, you're dead. If a missile hits you, you're dead. If a UFO touches you, you're dead. If you sneeze, you are dead. If a New Yorker looks at you the wrong way on the subway, you are dead. And so it's just like prepare to die a lot. Like this was definitely made, you know, with like looking at like the state of the arcade, you know, Space Invaders is really big. Like, what can we do to up that kind of thing? And this honestly is an excellent response to it. And it's just, It's just hard as hell, and it's addictive too. Like, you know, I sucked really bad at it, but I just kept coming back to it, like, oh, one more. Like, and even though my high scores are absolutely atrocious, and I do mean atrocious. Like,
that doesn't surprise me.
No, like, you should go see what my high score is on for the high score mode.
It's 7. I didn't know 7 was possible.
No. We are getting raided.
Hold on.
Why?
Thank you, Trivium Champ, for the raid. Welcome in, everyone. We are chatting about Satan of Saturn. For Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation, just came out from Hamsters, part of the Arcade Archives 2 series. Did you know the American version of this game was called Zarzon?
I did see that in the Wikipedia page for it.
I almost wish they released this as Zarzon, because that name is pretty fantastic. Like, I mean, don't know which the better name is.
I mean, see, the thing is that, like, Satan of Saturn, like, it reminds me of the Marvel Comics character Hellstrom, who is also called Son of Satan, and he got introduced in Ghost Rider comics very early in, and I fucking hated it every single time that he showed up, because he would constantly remind you of who he is, because originally his name was Son of Satan, and so it's just like, that's right, I'm Son of Satan, I have Satan's powers because I'm his son, because I'm the son of Satan, and I, like, you know, he just, oh god, and like, he does this for like 13 pages straight, and it's fucking annoying. But anyway, so that's kind of how I view that Satan of Saturn. You know, I'm Satan of Saturn because I'm from Saturn and I'm Satan, kind of thing. So yeah. I like Zarzon. It definitely does sound more sci-fi. But yeah, like, oh, and I, also, just so you know, currently I'm 22nd on the leaderboard for high score mode with a score of 980.
Proud of you.
That is absolute shit.
You know, if you get to 5,000, you get an extra ship.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. The highest I've ever scored on the arcade version was like 2,000.
Nice.
Like, I am awful at this game. But it's, as I said, it's tons of fun. Like, it's addictive. I really think everyone should check it out.
Cool. $10 verdict.
Totally. Buy it. This is a weird little title, and I swear you're going to get sucked in like I did too.
He got sucked in to suck. Yeah, we're bad at games. Up next, Whisper of the House, developed by GD Studio, published by eHome Entertainment, released August 27th on Xbox Play Anywhere for $14.99. Welcome to Whispertown, a cozy and heartwarming game about decorating, organizing, and uncovering little stories. You'll step into the role of the town's all-around housekeeper, taking on charming, quirky tasks, sorting through treasured keepsakes, even tracking down cats. As you help others put their lives in order, you may unknowingly change the course of their stories and slowly discover the unusual secrets hidden in this charming little town. Bree, what is Whisper of the House?
Well, first I'd like to just address, you can pet the cat, so
yay! Yay!
Bye. This is a 2D isometric cozy organization game with pixel art, but also a little bit of slice of life with of different characters with jobs to do and an underlying mystery about people in the town you've just moved to. This starts out with the ability to choose your character model from two models. One of each is generically gender-based choices. You can name your character, and all this info goes into your employee badge. It's a cute way to do it. The badge also includes some gameplay tips that sound like generally good advice for working any job. But you are the new housekeeper in Whispertown, and the first thing you have to do is move into your home. That serves as our tutorial. And then you get jobs in your mail to help other people around town do cleaning and organizing tasks, or move into their homes or businesses. You have a little storage robot that follows you around and helps you move things. The robot holds items and floats by so you can take things out and then place them. You get things one at a time, and you have to figure out which room or space to place them in. You can pick things up and rearrange them whenever you need to. You can rotate things. And generally, they go where you need them to go most of the time. Most of the time. You have a meter that shows how many items you've put correctly in each room of the building. And then when you're done, you go home to find vouchers and usually like a personal thank you. The townspeople will give you gifts reminiscent of your time with their stuff. Oh, and it takes like a picture of your work and gives you a little summary called the client satisfaction feedback page. There's a pretty good zoom in and out with the bumpers that I appreciated in the small rooms, like the bathroom. Sometimes placing things felt like a mess because the robot gives you like randomly generated things, like not randomly generated, more like the order of things is kind of random, it seems. So you can't see what's coming to make a plan for it. Where the smaller spaces fill up so quick, it's hard to really enjoy moving things around and getting them just right. There is a day-night cycle, and sometimes different things are available at different times of the day, but there really isn't much time pressure to everything. You can just like take a snooze when you need to bring the sun back, for example. But there is a little bit of, I don't know how to explain that without ruining plot. There are highlighted areas all over town that twinkle or are dusty, and you can interact with them with B. You'll find things from vouchers to useful items. Vouchers are like money. And you clean up the town as you go along. And the town is really fun to explore. Between that and the story jobs, there's lots of like stories and mysteries and secrets to uncover. And sometimes you're learning that the baker is actually a witch. And there are hidden rooms in people's houses and stuff for that. And like, why is the town museum closed? And there's a ticking number above it. Like, the number's ticking down. And we don't know how or why at first. We also get to decorate our own home with things we find in our journey. And like, paint and stuff. We can unlock more things as we go through the story. Oh yeah, and sometimes we can interact with little things like turning on lamps. That was fun. I think I also forgot to mention you can pick up the little robot that gives you stuff and move it around to be where you need it to be, out of the way or whatever. The story was pretty interesting, finding out all the people and their secrets, and you get to learn about them through their stuff. But also through just the tasks and little notes that they leave. And it had another layer to it than other games like it, like Unpacking. But I just don't know if that was enough. Mm. Overall, the control schemes were clunky, better suited to PC. You have a combination button and cursor movement to do different things. The UI for pressing buttons isn't always clear or big enough, though. B is the primary use button sometimes, and A other times, and that's kind of confusing. I felt like the cursor, while you're holding stuff, it's a big hand, it was too big to see what I was actually holding in my hand to place them, so it took me a while to realize that there was like a written label of what you either had in your hand or were hovering over. And so you're trying to place these items, and you don't even know what they are at first. So it could be something small like a note, and you want to put that note on the wall because it's a post-it note. Or it could be like, I don't know, a bag of flour, and you want to be nice and organize that on the pantry or something next to the sugar. But you have to like look at you don't get to see the item. It was a little disappointing, and it took me out of it a bit. I did like that you could hover over things like the animals and get little bits of story. Like hovering over a coffee table told me that it was from Ica, not IKEA, but Ica's popular line of maple tables, or that the dark red magic circle rug was an unfinished ritual. Some other things that irritated me were a lack of complete rotation. Being an isometric stage, you mostly only needed to go one direction or the other, but there were times where I wish I had a little more control with the rotation instead of just like flipping to the left or flipping to the right. There was also the ability to switch planes, which I got a little confused with as well, but it's supposed to help you like move to where things are on like a shelf or versus the floor. And I experienced a few freezes and things that I felt should have been able to place somewhere that just didn't go for no easily perceived reason. They just didn't want to go on the wall or whatever. I felt like the pixel art was well done. The soundtrack was like a lo-fi set of music you could almost meditate to while you zone out and tidy. sound effects in this were great. Things jingle and tinkle and spin and whir and clunk when you put them down and interact with them, and it's lovely. Game clocks in at around 8 hours of gameplay if you're being like thorough. And it was cute. Something felt, though, missing maybe about my experience. Overall, yeah, it was okay. I don't know how to explain it quite. It felt like it was missing something. Whether it was like more story, different story, and a layer of gameplay or something. Just, I don't know. There was just something that was missing to make it great.
All right. Well, it clocks in at 15. What are your thoughts?
I feel like some pacing issues and clunky controls keep me from wanting to give this an easy buy it. It's a great game that I think needs a little more polish. I still like the game a lot, from the cozy atmosphere to the slice of life stuff. And the stuff-based storytelling concepts are fun. I think the price is great. I'm going to give this a try it.
All right. Works for me. From the coziest game to the bloodiest game, let's wrap up with The Walking Dead Destinies, developed by Flux Games, published by Game Mill Entertainment. Available on all platforms right now for $49.99. Begin your journey as Rick Grimes, waking alone in a hospital surrounded by the dead. Assemble allies and fight your way through the Walker apocalypse across iconic locations from The Walking Dead, including Atlanta, the Green Family Farm, the prison, and Woodbury. In crucial choice-driven moments, you'll forever shape the destiny of your team of characters from the series. Heroes and villains, living and dead, it's up to you to decide whether to stay the course of history or forge your own path through the world of AMC's The Walking Dead. Jacob, what is going on in The Walking Dead Destinies?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
That's not a good start.
No, it is not. And this game doesn't have a... And this game doesn't have a good start either, because it moves at the same pace as the walkers do.
Oh,
holy crap. All right. So do you want to play a game that is essentially Walking Dead, the greatest hits seasons 1 through 4?
Because that sounds really interesting.
It could be really interesting, except it's not. Like, so you wake up as Rick Grimes in the hospital, and I had seen enough of Walking Dead with my ex-girlfriend, so like I know what happens in the first like two seasons with it, and so I was already familiar with the situations and stuff like that, and so I was like, okay, some of this could be kind of cool. But what ends up happening is that you're just essentially playing a bunch of scenes that, you know, the devs and maybe fans that they talk to, if they talk to any fans, you know, thought were like, you know, oh, these are the most memorable parts. And the game uses those, especially at the very beginning, it uses those moments as a way to teach you how to get around, how combat works in this game. And it is one of the slowest and most clunky tutorials that I've ever had to sit through. And so you wake up as Rick, and you have to navigate your way out of the hospital. And this is where the game shows you, like, by the way, you're going to be relying on stealth for a lot of this game. So in case you were wondering, yes, this is going to be mostly stealth game. However, don't worry too much, because the zombies really, they either zero in on you immediately, or they are just completely oblivious to you in this game. And there is, the game does encourage, you know, sneaking around, because obviously you have limited weapons and stuff like that. But and so you're going to want to hide in the shadows. You're going to want to hide behind stuff. You're going to want to hide in smoke, if there's smoke available. Like, how often is smoke available? Apparently it's going to be enough in this game to make it worthwhile that the game had to tell you, by the way, this is going to be a thing. Which is weird, because I wouldn't imagine that many things smoking by anyway. So, So, yeah, so combat slowly gets introduced to this game, and it's really just a lot of using your senses and, like, you know, so you can hone in on, like, where items, like, where your next, you know, thing that you have to do is going to be, which, thank God, because the game, like, doesn't really tell you otherwise what you need to be doing. But, like, thankfully the sense thing is in there, so you can, oh, okay, so I need to go grab this knife, or, oh, that car that's, like, you know, 500 feet away, that's what I'm supposed to be looking for. And also, like, by using your senses, you're going to be able to try to figure out where the zombies are moving to. And this seems like, as I'm describing it, like, this seems like, wow, this could be pretty cool. It's not. Like, the combat is clunky as hell. Like, you start off with a knife, you move to baseball bat, you move to other stuff, and the game is like, well, if you wanted, like, you could do these stealth kills like this, and if you could beat up people, like, with your baseball bat like this, or you could do a heavy hit, but this is going to take stamina, so you got to watch your stamina bar. However, even if you have full stamina, like, the heavy swings, half the time they didn't work properly. And you have to revert back to, like, just, like, the basic attacks on this kind of stuff. And then, like, you could also, you know, you could also do these, like, kind of like overkills, where you're, like, you just bash in their heads, or, like, you stab them repeatedly and, like, they're dead. But half the time those things don't work. And then, so it's like the game, like, it just doesn't make, like, the game, it applies this stuff, intermittently, it seems like. So, like, it just works when the game feels like it wants, like, you know, when the game decides, like, oh yeah, I guess I'll make it work this time. And stomping on, like, the half zombies that are, like, crawling around, like, that works the same way too. Like, you should be able to stomp them, but half the time the game initiates, where you'll have to, like, press, like, a button, like, really quick, like, three times so you can shake them off. It's just a mess of a game. And it's just, like, the character models do not look good. Like, I understand that a bunch of the cast came in and, like, recorded their lines, so that's cool, in case you wanted to hear them, but, like, a lot of the character models do not look that good or that convincing. And it's just, when you get to make decisions, it's like, okay, like, who do you, like, it's just, like, kind of like, who do you shoot stuff? And, like, the alternative is, like, I don't know, it just moves on to the next thing. Like, nothing ever feels like it actually mattered. Yeah. Because we're just going to move on to, like, the whatever the next episode would have been for the series. And it's just,
so good in concept, it's the execution is lackluster.
It's a half-cooked concept. Like, I don't know if the devs had more time that, like, it would have fixed this.
Yeah.
Like, I just, but it's just like, The Walking Dead is a series that, like, it should have had so many good, like, it's, I feel like it's ripe for video game adaptations. Like, it should have been. Meanwhile, the only one that was actually any good was the one for, like, was the Telltale series. Like,
it has nothing to do with the TV show, and this is about the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, that's, all right, that's fair, but, like, I mean, it's still part of, like, the media properties of The Walking Dead.
But I consider them two completely separate universes at this point because of how vastly different they became.
That's fair, but this one, it's just, it should have been better, but, it's just, it's not very good, and it's honestly, it's slow, it's plodding, and not in the good way.
Right, like, well, $50, it's not a verdict.
Wait for, like, all right, I would only recommend this if you are, like, a diehard Walking Dead fan, or if you're an achievement hunter, and even then I would tell you to wait for this to be $10 or under, because do not pay $50 for this. No way.
All right, so deny it officially.
Deny it, yes.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we are finished. We made it through this episode. Well, most of us made it through this episode. Aki, hopefully you're feeling better. We will have to take care of that other review another episode. So our apologies to Ultimate Games. We'll get to that one next episode. Yeah, does anyone have any final words to end this?
It took me 1.5 beers to get through the show.
That's it?
I played the drinking game. Yep.
I expected more.
I know. I did too.
So, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Damn it.
What?
That's unique. That's three.
I mean, me not knowing what the hell's going on is not particularly unique, but...
To be honest, you should know. So, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, yeah, but...
Fuck.
Just making me shotgun this now.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you done?
Nope.
Unique. Chug.
Unique New York. Unique New York.
So, yeah.
All right, now we're done.